Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hari Lila here with me, and he's helping us to all the devotees here to organize the Bhakti Bhai Baba program. And we started off yesterday with our first class, and we have 24 people registered, including 12-year-old children,
Wow.
everybody else here in Houston. And we've gone through so many days of orientation, organizing the administration. And this, now we did the preface and introduction yesterday. So next week they'll be on this verse. We started reading and studying this verse now. Very nice. He grew up in India and had the advantage of studying Sanskrit until how old? Which grade?
9 and 11.
Yeah. So they studied Sanskrit in school during the 9th and 11th grades. And I know there are many meters in Srimad Bhagavatam. I think Radhika said one time there's 6 different meters.
Yes.
And this meter is called Sardul Vikriti, which is a Vikritit. Sardul Vikritit. And it's for 19 syllables. And it's especially in one line, yeah. And it's especially for invoking auspiciousness, the way it's chanted like that. So there's so much to learn. Probably in this lifetime, we're not going to do it. You know? Okay. So let me go ahead here with a word by word. Janmadi.
Janmadi.
Creation, sustenance, and destruction.
Creation, sustenance, and destruction.
Chasya.
Chasya.
Of the manifested universe.
Of the manifested universe.
Yataha.
Yataha.
From whom?
From whom?
From whom?
Anvayat.
Anvayat.
Directly.
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 Itaraha.
Itaraha.
Itaraha. Itarataha.
Itarataha.
Indirectly.
Indirectly.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Arteshu.
Arteshu.
Purposes.
Purposes.
Abhijna.
Abhijna.
Fully cognizant.
Fully cognizant.
Swarat.
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 Fully independent.
Fully independent.
Tene.
Tene.
Imparted.
Imparted.
Brahma.
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 The Vedic knowledge.
The Vedic
knowledge.
Kṛdha.
Kṛdha.
Consciousness of the heart.
Consciousness
of the heart.
Yaha.
Yaha.
One who.
One
who.
Adikavaye.
Adikavaye.
Unto the original created being.
Unto the
original created being.
Muhyanti.
Muhyanti.
Are illusioned.
Are illusioned.
Yat.
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 About whom.
About whom.
Shirayaha.
Shirayaha.
The great sages and demigods.
The great sages
and
demigods. Tejaha.
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 Fire.
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 Vari.
Vari.
Water.
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 Mridam.
Mridam.
Earth.
Earth.
Yata.
Yata.
As much as.
As much as.
Vinimayaha.
Vinimayaha.
Action and reaction.
Action and reaction.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Whereupon.
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 Trisargaha.
Trisargaha.
Three modes.
three modes
of creation, creative
creation,
along with all transcendental paraphernalia.
Along with all transcendental paraphernalia.
Svena.
Svena.
Self-sufficiently.
Self-sufficiently.
Sada.
Sada.
Always.
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 Nirasta.
Nirasta.
Negation by absence.
Negation by absence.
Kuhakam.
Kuhakam.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Satyam.
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 Truth.
Truth.
Param.
Param.
Absolute.
Absolute.
Dimahi.
Dimahi.
I do meditate.
I do meditate.
Okay. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmariyasya yato navayaritarashcharte svabijana svarat tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muyanti yatsuraya tejovari medam yatavani mayo yatra trisargo manasa damna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dimahi. Okay. So translation then, O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth. We have somebody in the kitchen here. We're going to be a little quieter. And the primeval cause of all causes, of the creation, substance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. He is independent because there is no cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water as seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him did the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the modes of material nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Okay. So, Prabhupada says these first three verses make the prelude to Srimad Bhagavatam. And so it's kind of like after maybe writing the entire book, then Vyasadeva came back and then, you know, wrote this like a Mangala Archana, an auspicious beginning. And so there's no mention of who's actually speaking these first three verses, but whoever's talking, and we guess it's basically the unknown speaker is Vyasadeva, we guess, you know. And then he says, you know, there's this invocation like that, and I contemplate. Then he says, once upon a time in Naimisharanya, Suda was talking to the sages. And during that course, then Suda starts to explain what Sukadeva Goswami said. He heard Sukadeva Goswami explain to Maharaj Parikshit, his guru, how he heard directly from Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami begins to describe how Sankhyayana Muni taught this to the Kumaras, who taught it to Maitreya. You know, it was so many conversations within conversations. But in the beginning, it appears to be Vyasadeva, with these first three verses. And our study guide, we have our study guides for this whole first canto, or first two cantos. They're online there. And it's the one we're using for these Bhakti Bhai Baba courses. And they're definitely in revision. Definitely many mistakes and and need to be adjusted. But they've taken into account Borijan's study guides, the Mayapur study guides. And so all of ISKCON, we're actually developing a nice practical curriculum how to study these things. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest. So if we look at the our study guide, we have the point here that one half of the entire chapter is in these first three verses, like that. So it may take like a week just to go through these first three verses, or even a little longer, like that. And just to start off to look at them. For I guess first thing is this point about Om and Vasudev, and probably in the purport we'll talk about this, because the word Vasudev, actually it was Vasudev is birth to Vasudev, Vasudev means all pervading, I think that, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasu, maybe Vasudev. But Vasudev with a short A is the father of Krishna, And Vasudeva with a long A is Krishna. But there's also Vasudeva Sattva, which is a state of pure goodness. And then Prabhupada says that Vasudeva Sattva gives birth to Vasudeva. That if we get in that mode of pure goodness, then we can actually experience Krishna as a person, really. So we have to give him this pure consciousness. So in general, the word means all-pervasive. All pervasive. So we'll see that we're coming out of the Upanishadic environment. This was spoken 5,000 years ago when the whole world was full of Vedic knowledge of Puranas and Upanishads especially. Those were still kind of functioning, and so many scholars had come to hear what was going to be spoken because they had different levels of comprehension themselves. So Prabhupada from the very beginning is giving Lord Chaitanya's conclusion, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in general, that's not the way that the text is running, as far as where we can see. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, is cultivation of the intellect. It's kind of like Jnana Yoga, understanding Krishna, very logical, get liberation. And then Bhagavatam, he says, is actual cultivation, of the spiritual life. So we're just finishing Bhagavad Gita, and now we're starting Srimad Bhagavatam. We've kind of finished the Vedanta Sutra, or we're going. This is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Janmani Asya Yataha. So it's very, very beginning, very logical, like that. And we'll see that the sages, they ask their questions. What is the essence of all these different scriptures, these different, texts? What is the essence of all these different dharmas, Varnashram Dharma, and the avatars, and especially Krishna avatar? So when Suda Goswami answers, he talks about dharma, a lot about dharma, Varnashram Dharma. And the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is not to stay in this world and have a peaceful, happy life. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Dharma is for apavarga, for liberation. So in the second chapter, we'll see a lot of times that it's talking about dharma, about liberation, about moksha. But it's with a perspective of serving Krishna. So, svaipum sam paro dharmo, the greatest dharma. Svaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir at hokshaja. So the greatest dharma is not to serve Krishna. The greatest dharma is that dharma which takes us to serving Krishna, like that. And so he's talking about this preliminary stage in this beginning like that. And conclusion is to serve dharmas. And so many of the names we'll see in the second chapter are Adhoksaja, what else? I can't remember now, but but in the second chapter there's Adhoksaja. There are many names for Krishna, right? But they're all like these impersonal names. Adhoksaja, Vasudev. I think Krishna is mentioned one time, but mostly it's the same thing. It's kind of like, so in the beginning it's starting off slow and trying to get people on a philosophical perspective. And we're not going to get to Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, until the 10th canto. You know? He appears in the first canto when Krishna leaves Hastinapur and goes to Dwarka. But the ladies of Hastinapur, all they can appreciate him, he's appreciating him as Mahavishnu, or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. You know? Here he is, the original personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. Ramananda, are you still there?
Yes, Maharaj, we are all here, all 34 of us now.
Okay. Then I'll give another class for half an hour to the... It was fun, yeah, on the walls, yeah. But anyway, that's the beginning. It's like starting from this Upanishadic environment and then going slowly, slowly to Purusha avatars. And then in Dwarka, when Krishna enters Dwarka, we get a little taste because all the citizens come like little children who are so like about to explode after seeing their daddy come home. So there's some real feeling of rasa in that chapter. But everything else is pretty much all shantaras, like that, in the second chapter, you know, which is the beginning. So it's a gradual study, gradually going up slowly. And Prabhupada says, take it slowly. We're on the third canto now after years of systematic study here. And it's getting so intense this time. We're studying Devahuti's renunciation, Kardama's renunciation. And such intense discussions now as mature devotees and different grihastha devotees who are actually experiencing this, you know, with their very nice wives and, you know, what Prabhupada says. Today, before this, I had a one-hour class before this, and we're discussing this renunciation of Kardama. And my study partner, who is Srinivas in Boise, and he's married, has a very nice wife, nice daughter, and he was noticing, which I didn't notice because I'm a sannyasi, that Prabhupada says usually an intelligent woman, if she has one child, that's enough. She understands all the problems and suffering of doing this and the big danger. So he said his good wife that actually when she was going through it, it was enough. Yeah. Want to have more kids? She said, no, God, that was enough. You know, yeah. So going through this as a team, you know, the first word in the preface is we. Yeah. So going through this as a team of different ashrams and guru and disciple, then we can, by our very means of conquest. And then we can establish, you know, we should have every place in what is an ISKCON temple, you know, in every big city, there should be five more temples, you know, like that, you know? Yeah. And I think it's happening, little by little, even though we're so stupid, we're making progress as a group. So then, this word Om, you know, Prabhupada says, this personality of Godhead, you know, of course, one place in one purport he explains that the three letters A, U, and N, which make up Om, you know, are Jiva, Radha, and Krishna, like that. Those three are in there. You know, I forgot which is which. Yeah. And Prabhupada also says in the instructions by Brahma or whatever that if people cannot chant the Maha Mantra, then we can engage them in chanting Om. You know? And so it's actually not a bad thing. Sometimes people might think we're being a little secular, so we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And it's really potent, very nice. And you can give an explanation which is variably impersonal or personal, depending on the level of maturity of your audience. You know, so it's a nice mantra for preaching. Yeah. Of course, Vishnu Janan is chanting it sometimes. No, beautiful kirtan. Really gets intoxicating. But in the word Vasudeva, again, Prabhupada translates it as a son of Vasudev. But again, the general thing is like this more like impersonal representation in some ways. But it can be taken bothly. The conclusion is without a doubt, you know, Sri Krishna. Most of the Puranas do not have commentaries. Yeah. But Srimad Bhagavatam has a commentary by everybody to try and show that actually it supports impersonalism, it supports everything, you know. And also, other Puranas, they'll start going off into gem therapy and all kinds of things like that, you know. But the Bhagavatam, from the very beginning to the end, maintains its focus on what it's trying to do. Ete chamsa sakal pumsam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam. We've gone through so many personalities before in different Vedas, different Puranas, Shiva is the supreme. Durga is the supreme. You know? And so finally, this guy, Mahavishnu is the supreme. So finally, the Bhagavatam is really aimed at this point. You already know enough about demigods and other things like that, Brahman. So Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, establishes that it's trying to show us that, you know, that Krishna is the supreme person, the son of Vasudeva, is not a secondary manifestation of Mahavishnu, like the dictionary says. Yeah. So it's true that Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. You know? But the thing can also, just so we know for our preaching, can also be interpreted impersonally, like that. You know? Okay, and that's, we'll let you start off that way. We won't, you know, push our dark complexion Lord down your face too soon, like that. Yeah. Then this first verse, we look at it that we can see like a, it's establishing the cosmology, like that. You know, establishing Krishna as the cause of all causes. But what is he the cause of? He is the cause of the material world, which is an illusion. And this illusion is such an illusion that he, you know, people are confused everywhere. Okay. Then also it's establishing the spiritual world, which is eternal, like that. Okay. Now if we go to the second verse in the these three verses that make the prelude, and you don't have to go to it on the screen, I'll just read it. Dharma projita kvetabhatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam matravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite kimba parayar ishvaraha sadyo haribi avarudyate trakritibi shushushibis takshanat. Okay. Yeah. Now, here it's talking about a different topic. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So now it's gone. The first verse is talking all about Krishna and the material world, but now it's talking about how we're going to go there. You know, who can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, and how and religion is to take us to the spiritual world. The highest truth is reality distinguished from material. Highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. That's important because science is also aiming at the highest truth, but has no consideration of motivation, why we're learning this. Sociological investigations show that science benefits white, middle-aged males in terms of communication, in terms of medicine, in terms of enjoyment, toys. You know, it doesn't benefit poor black ladies from Los Angeles so much. You know? So we're distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all, not just for a certain class of people. Yeah? The highest truth, okay? Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasa in his maturity is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam by his culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So in some ways it comes to my mind, the first verse is Sambandha. What is this world? Who are we? The second verse is Sambandha Abhideya. Yeah. What's the process? The process is Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And how it comes, where it's from. And that's the process by which we can get free from this material world. It doesn't talk about the spiritual world. It talks about getting free from this material world. But if we go to the third verse in the prelude, we find, after turning the page many times, yeah, a different meter. Nigama kalpa taror galitam palam shukamukadam ritadravya samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhuvakaha. So it's a much more sweet verse. Yeah. And what he says then is,
yeah,
oh, expert and thoughtful men. Now, we've got somebody who's already advanced because of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he's become thoughtful and expert. Relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So now it's going beyond the jhana level and liberation level to actually relishing it. The mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Now, this is interesting in terms of our thesis that these first verses were spoken by Vyasadeva, because it kind of sounds kind of odd for him to be glorifying his son like that, but he might be doing it. So maybe actually Sutta produced these first three verses and was talking about himself in the third person. Okay. So many subtle things. But here anyway, it's coming to this point. I would say first verse, we see what is this world? What is the spiritual world? The second verse, we see the process of transferring ourselves to the spiritual world. And the third verse, we see the manifestation of the spiritual world, which is that it's relishable. It's a source of all rasa, like that. Okay, I guess maybe we'll read the first paragraph so we can say we made some progress. I'm going to go here to the first paragraph here. Okay. Actually, it's on the screen there. Okay. Obeisances under the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna. Okay. Yeah, so Prabhupada says that right away. Obeisances under the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Srila Vyasadeva, asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Yeah. So Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. Yeah. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise named Brahma Samhita. Yeah. In an Upanishad, in the Samaveda, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be the same indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive. Okay. So now we see what Prabhupada is, you know, dealing with all this, implied meaning, what we were discussing before. Prabhupada is giving his whole justification on this. And I would say that for a Western audience, this is difficult, picking it up for the first time and opening it like this. But for an Indian audience, you know, it was much more comprehensible, quoting from authorities and things like that. Yeah. Some Jiva Goswami Sadsandarbhas. Yeah. Okay, where is it here? Therefore, in this prayer, it holds. Yeah, okay. In Bhagavad Gita, now we're going back to the Bhagavad Gita, which of course is our home is based on Bhagavad Gita. In many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by the great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. Yeah. So far we have Krishna Sandarbha, Brahma Samhita, and Bhagavad Gita. And now, in the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead, and all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this text. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son. Sorry, I was going to get a movement in front of me here. Yeah. Okay, where are we here? Yeah, I'll find it. Vasudeva indicates the point. Where is it?
Vasudeva
indicates
the point
here. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. Wow. So that's as far as I was going to try maybe go right now. But I think really, this is really difficult to understand for somebody else without devotees explaining it to him like that. You know? And what the whole background is and everything else. And this whole beginning purport really requires like a lot of, I think, explanation for an ordinary person to understand it like that, you know. And of course, in the introduction, Prabhupada already discussed this. He already discussed it. And the introduction, to a large degree, is just like an analysis of this. It introduces this first material, and then Prabhupada goes through it again here in the purports. And of course, this purport, how much is it based upon Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Vishnath Chakravarti? You know, Prabhupada is doing that work of extracting everything from all the previous acharyas. You know? Ramanuja Sampradaya, it talks about the qualifications of a Samstapaka Acharya, a Sampradaya Acharya. And it's one of the Ramanuja's disciples, some time down there a little bit, a few generations, but very good in explanation. Many senior devotees in ISKCON also appreciating. And the qualifications, I can't remember all the qualifications he gives to be a founder acharya. This title that Prabhupada picked, founder acharya, is not like this some kind of like invented thing, but it's Samstapaka acharya, Pratista acharya. It's a whole thing, you know. So I remember two of the qualifications especially. And one devotee was going through these in the class in Los Angeles, and we could see clearly that Prabhupada satisfied all of them. One of them is that you have to synthesize all the knowledge of the acharyas before you and present it in such a fashion that your disciples don't have to go beyond you. Right? Now, myself, I write some things, but there's no way on earth that anybody, you know, should not go beyond me. It's like they have to go beyond me. Otherwise, what I'm writing is incomprehensible and dangerous. Yeah, dangerous. Okay. So only read my books when you're reading Prabhupada's books. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not the case with Prabhupada. He synthesizes Jiva Goswami, the Upanishads associated with the Padma Purana, somewhere there, the Samaveda, everything. And so we're so nice now, we don't have to go beyond Prabhupada's books. Of course, he tells us sometimes to do it if we want to, and he gives us indications how to do it. Like that. So he has to synthesize everything. The second thing I remember is that he defeats every philosophy contrary to Vaishnavism manifest at his time. So Prabhupada was defeating these yogis and especially defeating science, because far and away science is the most powerful philosophy in the world now about what is life, who are we, what is happiness. You know? So Prabhupada spent so much effort. You know, I personally heard from Tamal Krishnamurti's laser cannon. He directly told me, Prabhupada said over and over again for his entire last year, scientific preaching is my number one preaching program. Yeah. But he also said in Cheviot Hills that within 20 years it would be finished in terms of like being like a predominant philosophy. So now people are looking for something else as a philosophy. Okay, science is a source of technology, okay. And still many people, they have it, but still basically people are, you know, giving up on it as a way to solve all of our problems, to become immortal, to become happy, you know, like that. So it's Prabhupada, and I see in these purports that we really got to appreciate the Prabhupada synthesizing all these things and trying to bring it down to our level, I would say. But also I would say in the later purports, definitely, because, for example, we'll see in this whole first canto, Prabhupada almost never cites the Sanskrit. He was thinking about these Western people, maybe. But after he came to the United States, and we see in the second canto, he starts to include Sanskrit, appreciating, oh, this is the level that they're at. You know, they're higher than that I thought they would be. You know, but on the other hand, I have a suspicion he's maybe thinking, well, philosophically and intelligence, they're less intelligent than I thought they would be. So I have to bring these things down and make them more clear. So anyway, after this, it'll go on talking very philosophically about all these other aspects like that. And you can see it just going through the aspects of the text, talking about different concepts like that. One thing I can add is that Prabhupada says that some people say that the Bhagavatam is a recent invention, a recent creation like that. And they do. You know, these Indologists, the Sanskritists, they try and say that the Vedas weren't, that the Aryans, this was the idea of the Aryan invasion. Are you still there, Ramananda?
Sorry, Maharaj. It does take me a minute to unmute, because otherwise there'll be feedback. But yes, we are all here.
Okay. So the idea of this Aryan invasion, of course, people say it was motivated because the British could not tolerate having Indians as their ancestors. Yeah? So they kind of split the difference and talked about they came from the Middle East or someplace like that, you know, both directions. So the Aryan invasion idea was they came into India, and there's no mention of Naimisharanya in the Vedas because they weren't written at that time. This is their idea. And finally, when it came time to write the Puranas, then the invasion had reached Naimisharanya. So there are different reasons like that to this Aryan invasion. And then they give dates. You know, the first were the Vedas, the Rig Vedas, the oldest, and after that other Vedas, you know. And then after that the Puranas. And then finally they date the Bhagavad Purana something like in the 12th century or something, you know, like that, you know. And sometimes they'll say that different parts were existing before, okay, you know. So Prabhupada talks about this a little bit. There's a very excellent paper by, what's his name now? He's a professor in, oh boy, where is that? Advaita. He's a professor at university. He's pretty famous at University of the East Coast. So he wrote a very nice paper on the dating and history and showing all this very technical, precise evidence, you know, about the history of it. Some people say that Bhopadev, who was a big writer, is a person who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada mentions it in the purport. He says they say Bhopadev or somebody else wrote it. You know? So Radhika Raman, our disciple, and Advaita, they talk about this. And Radhika said he couldn't find out where this came from. But then when Advaita published his paper, basically what it is, some like nice, you know, scholar was trying to understand all this and the different commentators. And then he mentions in one end note that maybe something like maybe Bhopadev, edited the Srimad Bhagavatam into the format we have now, because he'd done other big works, you know. So maybe Bhopadev edited the Srimad Bhagavatam into the format we have now. So then another scholar takes that and quotes him and saying, scholar so-and-so says that Bhopadev wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And a third scholar, and a fourth, and a fifth. And nobody has any more information, according to Radhika Raman, our professor friend, than going back to this guy's, you know, kind of minimal comment about speculation. What's the word? Nicely. He's not trying to cheat. He's just trying to say it seems, trying to put it all together. Maybe this is where it came from, like that. You know? So the actual evidence from more and more better archaeological systems, from studies of grammar, everything else, is they're starting to push back. Even the scholars, the mainline scholars, traditional guys, are starting to accept that, yeah, we've got to give the Bhagavatam a much older date than we have been. So there are changes, maybe from the time of Prabhupada's purport, in terms of people accepting Bhagavatam as being older. But there's always this thing, too, is that sometimes, yeah, the form we have may not have been the form exactly which was spoken 5,000 years ago. Right away, it was spoken over 7 days without eating and sleeping. So I think there's no way on earth that it's going to take you 7 days, you know, 24 hours a day to recite the entire 18,000 verses. You know, maybe you was chanting them slowly or something. You know, So again, maybe what we're talking about is that the Bhagavatam we have is not is an extract of the Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Pariksit at the beginning, at the end of the Treta Dwapara Yuga. You know, for example, I can say I can write the entire Srimad Bhagavatam with the Bhaktivedanta purports in about like 10 minutes. You think it's possible for me to write the entire Srimad Bhagavatam with Prabhupada's purports in 10 minutes? Well, if I write it to my thumb drive, it's possible, right? Or if I write it to my portable hard disk, you know. So what was the conversation between, you know, Vyasadeva talking to somebody, or the Sutta talking to the sages, you know, what was the baud rate of their conversation? It looks like they could talk at a much faster speed. If you look at the other evidence from history, that everything was finer, and so on, you know, so many considerations in terms of this coming down, the aging, the dating, what's the actual composition, and Prabhupada talks about that sufficiently, you know, for us to deal with other people like that. But if you want people who want more detailed answers, then there's a lot of discussion and work about this amongst devotees. Okay, so we'll stop there maybe. And anybody has anything else, any other comments, questions, complaints?
Yeah, Maharaj, I have a complaint. Can we do this? Have you do this for the next week?
Huh?
We should have you do this for the next week.
I can't.
Unmuted,
everybody on all their various platforms. There's a lot of devotees on. Last count, I've had 34. So please remain muted, especially those on Skype, because otherwise, if you don't mute yourself, you might have to hang up on you. And for others that are, I can mute you individually, but please go ahead and ask the question. Otherwise, remain muted.
Can I add something? You don't mind.
Go ahead, Vidagga.
Okay. Can you hear me? Am I loud enough?
If you could talk a little louder, it'd be better.
Okay. Let me see if I can fix that. Hang on a second. Okay. I was surprised to hear Maharaj say that there are so many impersonal commentaries on Bhagavatam, because I heard, even though Shankaracharya is famous for his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he wouldn't even think of trying to do the same thing with Bhagavatam.
Yeah, there's no commentary by Shankaracharya, because Prabhupada says he was smart enough to figure out that it would be obvious, you know, trying to cover the sun with his hands. And the second thing, because he's Lord Shiva, even though Krishna told him to pervert everything, he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't deal with Srimad Bhagavatam. But then Prabhupada says his less intelligent followers didn't follow their guru, and so there's so many commentaries by Shankara's followers on it, like that.
And when I give a class sometimes on Bhagavad Gita, there's so many Bhagavad Gitas, I make the point that although someone may be a Sanskritist, unless they understand the conclusion of the Vedas, they're not qualified to translate Bhagavad Gita, and we see that. It's obvious. There's so many have made so many mistakes and minimized Krishna or negated him as the, you know, as the, in the Bhagavan sense, the Bhagavan conception. So the same thing applies to Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Who cares if somebody twists that into some impersonal, you know, I just read online when I heard you say that, it sounded, anyway, I got the impression that most people accept the impersonal interpretation of that verse. And I went to one page, and this page said that they went through some sort of word for word, and namo means name, and Bhagavate means someone who's becoming divine, and Vasudevaya means what did they say? The oh, here it is. Hang on, I got it right here. So they said the indweller, and then at the end of this thing, P.S. for the literalist, I will include the following, and then they give the word for word. Om, O my Lord, Nama, my respectful obeisances unto you, Bhagavate, under the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, unto Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev. So the translations, O my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. So it's funny, they give a reference to this kirtan guy, Krishnadas, because he chants this mantra, and he has a Buddhist teacher. But at the end, it's interesting that they included, this is the literal translation of the mantra. So that's interesting. So,
anyway, yeah, there's so much to go on for hours. I think Krishnadas came out of the Mount Madonna Foundation in Santa Cruz, and that was started by Baba Haridas, who is still there, who was a disciple of Nim Karoli Baba.
Right, but he was in India with Nim Karoli. Nim Karoli didn't initiate anybody. They just tell stories. They see him do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have books full of those kinds of stories.
So right away we see, again, there's so many different groups, interpretations, perspectives. Wow. Yeah.
But ours is the correct one, just like this verse is such an important verse because Vedavyas, under the direction of the spiritual master, Narada Muni, is making it clear what the goal of the Vedas is. This is his natural commentary, and he does it right here in the first absolute verse. He says, you know, this son of Vasudeva is the supreme absolute. He can bewilder the demigods all the way up to Brahma. He can make this world look like something it isn't. And you know, he's the master magician, and he's behind the curtain. And so Vedavyas is IDing Krishna right in this first verse. And I find the purport fairly easy to understand. I find it clear. And also, I fell in love with Bhagavatam. On the first day I heard a Bhagavatam class, I immediately, and I had no background in Bhagavad Gita, none. I immediately fell in love with Bhagavatam.
Wow. 30 years ago, was it so clear to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely.
I think you're one of these sages, you know, and mentioned the Bhagavatam who's taking birth in ISKCON.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's true, you have to hear it from a devotee, but, you know, and Prabhupada's purports, without Prabhupada's purports, people can do anything and everything, but the purport is beautiful, you know?
That's incredible.
I just find it on point, and it unfolds very naturally.
This time going through it, I'm about like, for three or four times more like appreciating it than I did the last time. Tomorrow night, for example, we have this whole program here. This one guy, he has so many friends who are like into ecology and, you know, yoga and meditation. And so we do programs at his house, and so many of them coming. But they're all from these different perspectives and stuff like that, you know. And so for them to get into all this and stuff like that, they have so many questions. It's so challenging to put things in the way they can appreciate. And I can see that, wow, to me it's like, it's the same thing too, is that the more we appreciate it, my God, we can get it out to so many people. There's so many people ready if we can put it in the way they can appreciate it, we can understand it. And if we're Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think in some ways, I've heard that Bhaktisiddhanta told people first read Chaitanya Bhagavat, then read Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Krishna.
Maybe you see my Bhagavatam.
Huh. Well, Prabhupada was Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam's the postgraduate Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita was postgraduate.
Uh huh.
Bhagavatam.
Also, you gave us Krishna book too from the very beginning. Wow, you know.
Yeah, well, he wasn't sure he was going to be around to give us Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Oh. Anybody else? Any comments? Questions?
Maharaj, Anu Mataji.
Thank you so much. These classes are always so enlivening, you know, the association.
Maharaj, Anu Mataji is putting a question here. You don't see it on Skype. I hope that she can unmute herself, but she's saying that she chants this mantra all the time, but normally I was told you should say it only 9 times. Anu Mataji, could you clarify that?
Yes, I have. Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Go ahead, we can hear you.
Sorry, I can't hear someone. I cannot hear.
Could you elaborate on your question a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I was told that there is an auspicious time or certain time that you say this mantra and you don't repeat it like the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because that's a lot more stronger, but of course, I do the Japa Mala, but sometimes in my sleep, I say the this mantra a lot. And does that mean that it's not good? Of course, it is good, but I just want to clarify, is it all right to say it that many times?
The only thing I know is that from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Lord Chaitanya, and when he was with Ramananda Roy and everybody else, they would take one mantra and they would just do it over and over again. Tavakatamritam. And like that, they would do it like a kind of like a japa mantra and like a kirtan mantra.
Yes.
So as far as I know, yes. You know, there's no harm in chanting it. And
okay.
If there is harm, then the mantra will tell you. Mantra will tell you. As you're chanting it,
yeah,
you'll
but
get...
I say it a lot of times all through the day. I sometimes even do the japa, use the japa mala to say it. And sometimes in my sleep, I'm saying it because I feel very good with it.
Yeah, I think there's no problem. Again, Lord Chaitanya would, with Ramananda Roy, they would take verses from the Bhagavatam, and they would, like you're doing, they would chant it, chant it, in a meditative sense. So, as far as I know, because again, there's so many commentaries, so people saying things about the Bhagavatam, they may be coming from different kinds of smarta people or so many people. But the example of Lord Chaitanya is that they would chant. I think on beads, Prabhupada told us to reserve our beads just for the Maha Mantra, like that. Vishnu Janam was chanting Panchatattva Mantra, and Prabhupada said, it's a very nice mantra, but Lord Chaitanya has us reserve our beads just for the Maha Mantra. But it doesn't mean we can't chant it like,
okay,
you know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your help. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Next time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Mr. Boise, Idaho.
Jai Dandavan. You were saying that it may be that we don't have the entire Srimad Bhagavatam exactly the way it was spoken or written 5,000 years ago. Did I hear that correctly in that fashion?
Yeah, for a variety of things. Of course, it's describing that the Govardhan was like 10 times the size it is now, and it's like if you, in the fall, there's still leaves in the trees, there's still squirrels, there's still some kind of late harvesting, fruits. So when this was spoken, everything was much finer, much bigger, much faster, much more accommodating. But as the Kali Yuga comes, it's like we go into winter, everything becomes tighter, finer, smaller. So I think it's very, we find some information other place, but it was seven days and seven nights without sleeping, and as far as I know, there's no way on earth that you can can, you know, not finish off the Bhagavatam more than one time in 7 days and seven nights, like that, you know. Gopal Bhatta, his service was reciting the Bhagavatam, and he would do it in, I think, six different tunes. He would go through it one time, go through it again, go through it again. And so that's what so it may be that if it was just spoken one time and it wasn't repeated, then the actual, and actually it says one place in one of the purports that the Mahabharata or the Mahabhagavatam on the higher planetary systems are composed of many more verses. So again, that's what I would understand at this point, is that, yeah, the one we have now, Srimad Bhagavatam means glorification of the Lord and His devotees. And so it's more than being a specific text, it's a specific effort. It's like you know, it's like every single Mangala Arati we do is different. The chanting, the kirtan, the flavor of the incense. But yeah, this is Mangala Arati. So Srimad Bhagavatam means glorification of the Lord and His associates. And so I would say that, as far as I would understand, yeah, that the Bhagavatam that was spoken, you know, probably was a different character than the one we actually have now.
Also, you were saying that one of the qualifications or signs of a Samstapaka Acharya is that his literary accomplishments are so great that his followers do not need to go beyond his writings to learn what else is written. I'm paraphrasing you, of course. So I guess my question is that if we recognize Srila Prabhupada as Samstapaka Acharya, then why do we indulge in going to all the other books that he hasn't given us?
The citation is more like vertically, not horizontally, that you don't have to go back to Bhaktisiddhanta. You don't have to go back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because the Samstapaka Acharya takes all those things and puts them in a complete sense like that. But right from the very beginning, Prabhupada says there's so many commentaries in the Vedas and this and that, and the sincere student will derive great benefit by going through them under proper guidance. So Prabhupada says, yeah, we should read these previous acharyas, but with proper guidance, like that. You know.
I seem to remember hearing, and I'm not sure if I heard it in one of our Bhagavatam classes on the internet or if in a Memories, Recollection, Memories series, where someone was quoting Srila Prabhupada as saying that you can understand the writing, or you can read them, but you won't be able to understand them unless you hear them from me. I'm not sure if I'm remembering that correctly or if I'm citing it correctly. Do you know anything about that?
No, but Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has been here. It's nice because he just finished off, of course, his three volumes of biography and actual works written by Bhakti Siddhanta. You know, and it's a fact that, for example, Prabhupada says that the Hari Bhakti Vilas, one purport, which describes a lot of our rituals and everything else, is unnecessarily complicated. You know, but then he says, but at that time, practically speaking, everybody was smarta. So Sanatana Goswami had to go with the flow of the time, like that. So therefore, for reading Hari Bhakti Vilas without Prabhupada's commentary explanation, then we won't understand it. And we'll be frustrated because all these details. You know? So we understand through him, like how to understand, you know, what Bhakti Siddhanta was going through, what things were happening. And Prabhupada gives commentary. Some devotees are reading those things, Hrishikesh Ananda, Bhaktinandan Swami, and Prabhupada wasn't discouraging them. Other people he did discourage, but for example, he told Bhaktinandan Swami, as I understand, that past a certain date, the Gaudiya Math publications were not so secure, because they started to enter into politics. You know, like some people supporting a Ritvik idea, some supporting this and that. So a lot of politics entered into the publications at a certain time. So Bhaktivinoda Swami said, but Prabhupada, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta was still there, he was still alive, you know. And Prabhupada said, yes, but he was very invalid, so he wasn't able to actually control the content of the publication so much. So like that, you know, going through them with proper guidance, you know, the Sandarbhas. The Gopi Puranadana DBT translated the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which I think is tremendous contribution. But also my feeling, and other people too, is that they did it with a very sincere fashion, and so it's completely strict. You know, and it's very nice. You know, it's very, very the Prabhupada's hand in the thing. And so we need to do so many more books to translate these things from the other previous acharyas, but under proper guidance, you know, going, like you say, going through Prabhupada's books, you know.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. It's always good to listen to you.
It's always good to listen to you, too.
Maharaj, just back to the question about chanting the Bhagavatam within 7 days, 5,000 years ago, I'm not sure I understand. Does it mean that what you're saying, that it doesn't really take that long to chant 18,000 verses, and they maybe expanded upon it back then, or it's very difficult to chant that many verses within?
No, it's also too, because this is my opinion is coming from, you know, talking with Hridayananda Maharaj about this and other devotees who have gotten into the whole history of the thing and other things like that, so on. But it's discussion, not like I'm declaring anything, you know. But as far as I would understand, it's not Kali Yuga, it's Dwapara Yuga, and everything is finer, faster, subtler, bigger. And then, yeah, as far as I understand, I don't know how long it takes, but as far as I understand, it's not going to take that long. It's not going to take 24 hours times 7, which is, what is that? 25 times 8 is 200 hours. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to take like 200 hours to recite the entire thing in a nice tone. It might. So maybe it was. Maybe the one we have now is exactly, you know, what it takes to recite it. But as far as I would understand, suspicion that maybe, you know, that when they were speaking, there were more things included. And it comes down to us, you know, in this, you know, yeah, so it's a big discussion among very sincere devotees about what things can be found. And Radhika, our disciple, who's at William & Mary College, graduated from Oxford, grew up in ISKCON, totally dedicated to Prabhupada, he said one time he was trying to investigate this, and he was surprised because basically Prabhupada was more liberal with the Indologists than most of the devotees were. Prabhupada was saying, maybe this, maybe that, you know, so on, you know. So that's what I know. Again, it's an area of discussion, and, you know, yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
I guess we have to go now because we have another program. So we wanna
Hare Krishna Maharaj, could I ask something quickly?
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Maharani Devi Dasi. I'm the president of the UH Hilo Bhakti Yoga Club. And this week we're having a Peace Day event at the university, and the Bhakti Yoga Club is having a table. And I wanted to bring, one of our members has a Changing Bodies exhibit. It's at its tallest, it's maybe 7 inches high. And so other devotees are thinking they want to bring this or that, you know, and so I'm having, because I'm like in charge, I have to decide on these things. And one devotee wants to bring a tulsi plant with a little sign that says, water this plant for peace. And I was wondering what you thought of that.
One time, who's the guy? It was Madhavista. He was he's a big director for Prabhupada, Madhavista Swami. And he said, he told us he was in the theater in Bombay Temple. And so many people there. It was a big, like, program they'd organized, public thing, this and that, you know. And the whole thing was full. And so they had Manipuri devotees doing some presentation like that and so on, you know. So he was sitting with Prabhupada in the front row. And then sometime during the thing, Srimati Radharani in the Manipuri thing was worshipping Durga, you know. And so Prabhupada became irritated and he said, Srimati Radharani never worshipped Durga, you know. stop this. You know? So Madhav used to say, he was like, my God, it's like, you know, all these people there and big people and everything else, he's supposed to walk up and stop the whole drama or something, and then Prabhupada said it again, like, you know, he never would stop this. And so he was starting to get ready to you know, my God, okay, to stand up and go do this, you know. And he, I guess he kind of got halfway out of his seat and probably grabbed him and pulled him back down and said, it is all right, it is all right, it is just a drama. It is just a drama, you know. So I would say I don't know the details, and you got to kind of talk to people. Chanika Pandit, everybody else, Chanika Pandit, Parasara Muni, and the Vision Dev, they all say, look for quotes in Prabhupada's books. If you find exact things, okay. Chant Hare Krishna, get your own inspiration, it's valid. And third, then talk with six different devotees. It was a good thing, important thing, and you'll arrive at a real conclusion about what we should do. To me, this person, adding one of the six opinions there, I don't know. You know, to me, it sounds like a little bit loose. You know, I would say water this plant for universal peace. Okay, universal peace and satisfaction. Then I think it's okay.
Okay.
We really got to go. So we'll see you all though. Thank you so much for the association. Please forgive our stupidity and help us get purified of it.
Maharaj, thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you,
Maharaj.
Bye. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare
Krishna.